From the Land Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of March 2021. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's from TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri. And Drew Lerner will be here from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take a look at the weather forecast for the United States and growing regions across the planet. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today finished at $5.58. That was 3¾ cents higher. July, 3/4 cents higher at $5.42½. And December contract down 2¼ finished at $4.74½. The May soybean settlement price, 5½ cents lower at $14.17¾ a bushel. July at $14.06, down 7¾. And November beans, $12.35½ for the new crop, 9½ cents lower. The bean meal down $1.20 at $4.04.90. And the bean oil today at $54.60, 49 cents lower. Wheat futures, July soft red at $6.30, down 6½ cents. And the hard red July, that's the harvest month, at $6.05¾, 6¾ cents lower. Live cattle futures, April contract, $1.22½ higher for 100 pounds at $119.42½. June at 122.25, 57½ higher. And the feeder cattle finished at $144.65 in the April, up $1.32½. Lean hogs, $93.67½, finished at 77½ cents higher in that April contract. Energies now, crude oil, 15 cents a barrel lower at $64.65. The diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.90⁄⁄, that's down 2⁄⁄ cents. And gasoline on the RBOB, a nickel lower at $2.05 today. Natural gas at $2.52⁷, 3⁷ cents lower today. Metal futures, gold contract down, rather up $9.50. It's $1,740.40 for a troy ounce. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Jackie Vakes now joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Todd.
Tell me about the support and resistance levels this week.
Well, they really haven't changed from last week, so I'll just give everybody reminders. We've got May support, 529, 572 resistance, July 498, 557 resistance, and on a December weekly chart, 455 support, 486 resistance. Beans, 1407 in May support, 1521 resistance, July 1342 with 1444 resistance. And November weekly tells us 1159 support, 1292 resistance. We look at the Dow Jones, same as last week, 29,756 support, 32,234 resistance. US dollar, 92.5 support, 93.8 resistance. So pretty much nothing changed on that front. You know, I think it just emphasizes that we're doing a lot of range trading ahead of the reports that are going to come out at the end of the month. Managed Money did a few things that were kind of interesting. On their soft red wheat, they dropped from 25 to 20,000 contracts. Corn, they went up from 353 to 378,000 contracts. Beans went down from 174 to 155. Soy meal down from 61 to 55, and soy oil down from 129 to 107. So you can see the impact of spreading going on there. They're obviously spreading corn against other products. They're betting on corn for right now, basically. And when we look at export inspections, wheat inspections down 2%. That's better than last week. They were down 4% last week. Corn 87% ahead versus 84 last week, and soybeans up 74 versus 75 last week. And so we've just been kind of hanging in that same thing. And certainly tells us, you know, that we're doing a lot of, there's a lot of front loading going on here. And so, you know, as we get further into the season, it won't be a surprise to see some of this slow down. when you look at corn inspections, 46% is up, is what the USDA is expecting, and beans 34%. So, you know, we could see some significant slowdown in the entire situation.
It was a big sale this morning.
Ooh, it was a whopper. Yeah. Yeah, we're happy with that. I mean, we'll take it. We're not that way. And so, and that's not part of that 87% ahead yet, because it is inspections. It's not that. That was a sale.
That was a corn sale, as you said, not inspections. Inspections, of course, are things that are actually being loaded out and ready to go. I do want to know about the soybean side of thing, because as you mentioned, it looks like this week there's some spreading going on. I wonder if there's a cautionary tale there and what you've been watching closely.
Well, I think when you look at the general picture, yes, spreading is definitely going on, and spread unwinding is going on. And, you know, the crush was a disappointment. We have to take into account that, you know, February was a short month. Which the estimating people should have taken into account. But I think it's also an indication of maybe the difficulty that some of these crushers are having actually sourcing beans, you know, and giving everything in line. And so I know a lot of people are disappointed after this big corn sale today that we're, you know, that we weren't really going through the roof on corn, but it's very difficult to do. And I think some of that is a result of spreading and spread unwinding. And we see a lot of that going on prior to big reports like the acres report and the grain stocks report at the end of the month. What am I watching in particular? Well, you know, you want to make sure that you don't start breaking major support areas in beans, especially. You know, the 20-day moving average has been in the nearby beans. It's just really been a very concrete place to be. And you know, we've gone down to the 40, but that was back in February. We might test the 40 again, but at the moment, you know, that 10-day and 20-day have been extremely strong areas. And so I think when you look at the bigger picture, we still have a strong uptrend market in place at the moment. But everything will come out, you know, when we find out what expected acreage is at the end of the month.
Speaking of that, any thoughts on those reports?
When you look at soy acres, they were below the trade estimate each of the last 3 years, while corn exceeded the estimate two out of the last 2 years and three out of the last 5 years when it comes to the expectations. Grain stocks, that I think was interesting. Soy stocks exceeded trade guesses each of the last 4 years. So we can't blame it on the pandemic or anything else, but each of the last 4 years, corn stocks exceeded four out of the last 5 years. So, you know, that's going to be a situation where that grain stocks report is going to be the thing that I'll hone in on first before anything else. It is by far the most important portion of the release. And I wanted to give everybody kind of a cautionary thing. Back in 2014, the U.S. imported 92 million bushels in April, May, June, July. And that was a year we only had 92 million bushels carry out. So don't ever think that we can't source other beans, just like we have sourced other corn in the past. It happens. And so we'll be watching that closely, too, to see if there's any activity. For right now, because of the issues down in South America, they only shipped out 2.7 million metric tons. Can you imagine? Or excuse me, 2.9 million metric tons in February. That's 40% below last year. And at the moment, in the queue, there are enough ships to take 17.3 million metric tons of beans out of Brazil. And so our ability to be able to bring them in out of Brazil is probably not really good at this point in time, but it's still a situation where we can never discount the thought of that happening.
Well, since you're talking about bringing soybeans in from Brazil, they've had some difficulty, especially with their harvest. Have you been watching that closely?
Oh, yes. And difficulty is, you know, boy, that's a good word. If you look at Cerezo, which it's in southern central Mato Grosso, basically is where it is. They've declared a state of emergency. In the last 45 days, they've had 32 inches of rain. So they've had flooding. They've seen washed out roads and bridges. They're expecting in the private sector that the cost is probably about $300 million in loss. And that municipality is the largest soy and corn producing municipality in Brazil. So this is not just a minor place. And so last Friday, the soybeans in that Cerezo were 73% harvested compared to 100% almost every year prior to this. And so along with that, now you know, we talked about the delayed planting having an impact on the safrinha corn. Well, now these wet conditions are delaying it even more. And when you look at safrinha, 64% planted as of last Friday compared to 97% at this time of year. A lot of their earlier corn, because of the rain, when we're familiar with this, got replanted, or it's being abandoned because of poor germination. And, you know, their ideal planting window actually closed that third week in February. So, you know, if you're planting corn in the second half of March, it's mighty risky down there. And why it's so risky is because it gets so hot so fast. You know, those soils down there really drain very, very quickly. And so, you know, you can get moisture stress so fast once the rain shut off. And so, you know, the question is going to come down to is this late planted corn could run out of moisture before it even gets to mature. So have they got problems? Oh, yeah, they got problems. And you look at Argentina on the other side, they're seeing some crop stabilizing weather, which is a good thing for them. And there's more rain possible. So I think that finally, you know, they're getting a break. They nothing has changed when it comes to their debt or anything else. But on the other side of things, at least the crop is starting to come along.
Let's turn to the demand side and talk a little bit about China. Do we know what's happening with their hog herd post ASF, or in the middle of the end of ASF, or where they happen to be at this point?
Well, the FAS Beijing Post, okay, and the USDA released the livestock and product semi-annual for China. And it's kind of interesting because the differences between the Beijing Post and the USDA numbers are pretty wide. The Post really confirmed that China has a substantial herd regrowth. But it is saying that they think 22 is going to be how long it's going to take before China is really back in stride with full pork production. And so if you look at it relative to 18, Post says 2021 soy sow stocks are 3.7% smaller than compared to the USDA saying they're 21.5% smaller. Post says the slaughter in 2021 is going to be down 13.7%. USDA says 24%. And all of this is being compared to 2018. Now, you know, Post is forecasting pork production at 47 million metric tons. That's down about 13% from 2018. I think that's why they're saying it's going to take till 2022 to be able to get back to where they belong. And they're citing some of that issue because they have a continuation of that animal disease outbreak and it's tempering production. So that backs up what we've been hearing about outbreaks of ASF all over the place. But if you look at the carcass weights, they're pretty light. But the biggest thing that impacts us, Todd, is when you factor in the additional pounds of pork that they basically are going to start to produce per animal, imports are forecast to decline. And that's really not a big surprise as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, it's a reality of the situation. And so we'll see once where it goes. China, like you said earlier, China bought. This is kind of interesting. They've purchased 735 million bushels of corn. This was before this morning. I didn't factor it in. I'm sorry. So far for the crop year. But they've only inspected 40% of that, which is 294 million bushels. And I hear the confusion so often, even from other analysts, you know, the USDA export number reflects inspections, not sales. Like you said, it has to leave the country before it's considered, you know, a true export sale, because we have the ability to roll sales forward, you know, into New Year's and things like that. And so be careful when you're hearing numbers to recognize the one you have to hone in on is the inspection number and whether or not we're going to reach the number that the USDA expects.
Anything else for the day?
Oh, I got a couple things. You know, I'm always looking around. You know, Thursday through Monday of this past week, U.S. air travel exceeded the 5 days after Christmas by 800,000. Can you imagine that? Yeah, you think that's spring break? Maybe. I mean, we're seeing it everywhere.
Maybe.
I think so. U.S. lumber is up 170%. This was something I had thought about, but hadn't really been able to put a number to. And now they're saying that that's adding about $24,000 to the cost of building a new house. So we are starting to hear, scattered cancellations from people. And I guess I can't blame them for that. Dr. Fauci is not my favorite person in the world. So I found a quote from a Fauci critic. Like a bad weather forecaster, frequently wrong, but never in doubt. And so I think that is so accurate. And I just want to wrap up by saying we're getting closer to spring planting. Woohoo!
Indeed we are. Hey, thank you. We'll talk with you again next week.
You bet. Thanks, Todd.
That is Jackie Vakes. She's with TotalFarmMarketing.com out of Hollister, Missouri. Hey, just a quick reminder as you're gearing up to go to the field this spring that you can take us, Illinois Public Media, with you very easily right there on your phone. We've designed our website for use on the phone, particularly if you connect it to your Bluetooth radio, whether that be in the pickup truck or the tractor cab, it matters not. You can listen to us directly from the website at willag.org live or after the fact, or scroll down to the page and find one of those podcast applications you'd like to use on your phone. Places like Google and SoundCloud, NPR One, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, even Spotify. And of course, we try to put things there that you can read quickly and possibly hear a story or two about on willag.org. Or if you'd prefer, you can visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu and get it directly from the source, the ag economist, crop scientist, and animal scientist from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Thanks so much for spending your time with us and gearing up for the spring field work. We're now joined by Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. I'd like to start with the dry areas of North America. I don't think they include parts of the hard red winter wheat growing regions now, so maybe the Northern Plains, is that right?
That is right. Actually, we have a little bit of dryness that's still down in Oklahoma and parts of northern Texas. It's interesting that out of all the storminess we've seen in recent weeks, the volume of moisture that has occurred down that way hasn't been that great. And there is a long-term dry bias still playing out. So we'll have to continue to watch that area. But you're absolutely right. It's really all about the northern plains and Canada's prairies. And, we're still a month away from aggressive field work. But in some years, we can see farmers working some fields in early April, maybe even late March in some cases when it comes to peas and early season crops. This isn't going to be one of those years, though, I'm afraid. It does look quite dry for a while. A few weak little systems will go by. But what I've been advising some of the Canadian producers and Northern Plains farmers is that if we just sit tight and wait for seasonal warming to take place, this active weather pattern that's in the central U.S. right now will lift to the northwest as time goes along. So when we get into the middle and especially the latter part of April and May, I think it's going to rain fairly frequently up those that way, and those folks will end up in a much better environment. And in fact, there may even be a few folks that complain a little bit because they don't have an opportunity to get into the fields because it keeps raining on them. I don't think it's going to be a surplus moisture situation, but just the mere frequency of rain might be an issue later in April or May. But for right now, it just looks like they need to just sit tight and wait for the change. It's coming.
Speaking of the change, did you there in Kansas City get snowfall or rain out of that last big event? And does it portend a change for the Midwest in general at all?
You know, we did miss the snow here in this area, but it was certainly an impressive event. In fact, that whole storm system was just very, very impressive and very well forecasted by the model data, I might add, too. That system did bring a tremendous amount of moisture into the Central Plains, right, and South Dakota into Kansas and Colorado, and then through Iowa and parts of southern Minnesota and South Dakota. Those areas had a lot of snow and a little bit of rain. And then, of course, we're dealing with some of the aftermath of that that pushed through the parts of the Midwest in the last day or so. And we're getting more from a second storm system now that will be with us for a while yet over the next day or two. So the entire central U.S. is moistening up. The ground is saturated already in Nebraska, Iowa, eastern Kansas, parts of Missouri, even some areas in southern Illinois into Kentucky. And as we go forward through the balance of this week with this additional storm, we will see that expanded into a larger part of the lower Midwest as well, and the Delta, for that matter.
It's quite the change from what producers and others might have been thinking, well, a month or a month and a half ago, that's for sure.
That's right. And that's what spring's all about, right?
Speaking of change, is anything in South America changing?
Well, you know, we've seen a big difference in Argentina the last two or three days. A massive storm system actually sending two or three waves of energy across the country has turned that soil moisture profile that was critically dry a week ago into a very favorable environment for late season crop development. And now I realize it's pretty late and we have missed the boat on some of the yield, but some of the crop quality could improve. We might even swell up a bean or two and some late season corn a little bit and just expand the yield just a tiny little bit. But the soil is now actually rated adequate to surplus in central and southeastern parts of Argentina. That's the topsoil. The subsoil is still very dry, but it looks like we have two more storm systems coming up. The first one comes across, I believe it's going to be Friday and Saturday, and a second system that comes through during the second half of next week. And between those two events and the moisture that's already in the ground, I think these crops will coast on into the finish line of the growing season without any more serious stress.
Any other places around the planet we should check in on?
You know, Brazil's been fighting excess moisture for a while. Well, this active weather pattern in Argentina is likely to translate into a potential for a little high pressure ridge to build over interior southern Brazil for a little while next week while it's raining in Argentina. And that should finally open a nice window of opportunity to get the rest of the soybeans harvested and the corn planted in Brazil. And then, of course, that window will need to close a little bit and make sure they keep getting regular rains or the safrinha corn could be in trouble down the road. I think it's going to be dry enough for enough days that there will probably be some chatter out there in the marketplace that, oh my, the monsoon's ending early and, you know, there's going to be all this fretting about what's going to happen to that safrinha corn crop. But the reality is the showers should come back. But it'll be an interesting situation. Maybe we'll talk about it more next week.
Indeed we will. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.